Hello everyone, hi. So today I'm going to look at how art makes sense of my life. So, Matthew 6, 19 to 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. What lasts? Fame, money, possessions? Nothing lasts of this world. And what about Christians and artists? Should art be didactic? Oh, hang on. Is art of any use in our society? What is the purpose of artists? And what about Christians and artists? Should art be didactic or just teach moral issues and illustrate the Bible? These are some questions we may have about art. For me, art is the way I make sense of the fact that nothing lasts in the world. Nothing lasts. The world is harmed by our greed, and yet there's strength and beauty in our world. Why Christians did art? Oh, one sec. many people question the value of art in today's society, particularly the role of Christianity in art, where we know that God is a creative God. He created us, and he created this world, and it's beautiful. But originally, Christians used visual arts. It was based on the use as an educational tool to educate people about Christianity. But today, artists use image was a means of instruction, especially when there were no books or literacy. But today, artists do not create educational works. They're not a sermon. Art helps us to experience another way of seeing the world. Art poses questions, thoughts, and ideas. Okay, why contemporary art? Another key question is, why do we make art today? Art has always been an expression of the time it was made, from Van Gogh in the 19th century of the Impressionists, created the atmospheric work in response to scientific discoveries of light. And their work was rejected of the people at the time. Art has no longer become purely technical. So back in the days, it was all about techniques and shapes and colours. But now it's all about concepts and ideas. And these ideas are like gender, refugees, poverty, social awareness. So art's moved on. And they use things such as lasers, lights, video work, sculpture, found objects, and even their body in their art practice. So my love of photography has gone back to probably when I was 15 or so, when I really started surfing a lot, and I spent most weekends at the beach with my mates, and we would surf almost all day. and ever since I was a kid, I loved history. I was also fascinated how society moves on throughout history, but throughout history, we always have the same issues. And I was fascinated when I first picked up a camera, the idea that I could capture a split second of history, and that would be captured throughout the whole of history. And I have a document of that, and I could hold that split second in my hand. I also went to a lot of art galleries. My parents work in the arts, and I grew up going to art galleries. Wasn't fascinated at all, but I just went along. and then when I left school, I went to Sydney College of the Arts and studied fine arts. So, there are a number of artists which I want to look at, which have really impacted me. This is the photo that of us at the beach, which I took. This is D.Y. Point, just down the road, actually, where we spent the whole day at the beach. This is when the Pasha Bulka, do you guys remember in 2007, the Pasha Bulka? And there was just a massive swell, like, it was big. it was pretty dangerous, actually. and then some other, there's just also photos of us, me and my mates, going at the point with the waves breaking on us and pushing us into the pools. So these are some artists which have really influenced me over time and in different ways. So I reckon the first artist who has impacted me was an Australian photographer called Max Zappane, really big in the early 20th century. And he photographed Australian culture and the beach culture. And this is Shop at Newport, and he looked at the beauty of the human body. He looked at angles and did a lot of black and white photography, and was one of the Australia's earliest famous photographers. Michael Riley is an Indigenous photographer, and he was one of the key guys who kind of got me more into like social issues of art and photography. So he sadly died in 2004, but this work was made in the 90s, and he looked at the idea of how the impact of white Australian policy and white Australians on the Indigenous Australians. And this is called Sacrifice, and it's the idea of like these are sardines and how all Indigenous Australians were put in rows and ordered in the 20th century. So earlier in my high school life, I was very fascinated about joining the army and wanted to enrolled in the army straight out of school. Didn't quite make it though. But I was fascinated in history, particularly, and in the fact that a camera can document history. And I was fascinated about how Robert Capa, who's a war photographer, one of the first war photographers, captured the terror of war and the faces of soldiers. And this is the beaches of Omaha Beach in World War II of the American soldiers landing. Ansel Adams really stood out to me because I was fascinated by the idea how he made man small and made nature and this world that we live in big and made us, put us in our place and made nature also beautiful. James Nattery is an amazing photographer and one has always stood out to me. His work is has made me cry at times because it's the power and the raw emotion in his photos. He's been to the worst sites of this world. He's been to Rwanda, Israel, and covered El Salvador. And he's a war photographer and captures conflicts and social issues. And then this is another war photographer called Larry Burrows, who I was really fascinated in uni, and he was an English photographer. Sadly died in Vietnam through being shot. And he captured the soldiers of the Vietnam War and just the everyday life of as a soldier. Walker Evans really stood out to me because I was fascinated how he documented the everyday people, the poorest of the poor and the marginalised. So this photo was taken in the Great Depression in the 1930s, and he got a contract from the government to document the effects of the depression on the families. And it's just such, his photos have such raw emotion in the faces and how hard life is for them. This guy, Sebastian Segal, he documents, again, people who live it tough. And these are miners. This is shot in the 80s, and these are miners in a gold mine in Brazil. And it talks about how the Western world benefits from the poor people of the world. And it's only we only live this life because the poor people have to suffer and suffer in terrible ways. This is probably my all-time favorite. It's hard to choose a favorite, but he's my favorite. It's Edward Butinsky, he's a Canadian photographer, and he photographs sites which we don't really look at. So this photo was taken in Bangladesh, and all the oil tankers, once they're used, they get taken there, and they get pulled on these mud slicks, and they get pulled apart. And it's actually quite a dangerous job because a lot of them, workers who work with just bare feet and just with work in terrible conditions. And he photographs how our lifestyle, the consequences of our lifestyle on these people. Andreas Gursky looks at consumerism, which I'm also really fascinated about. In fact, he holds the record for the most expensive photograph. This was the second most expensive photograph. He actually held the newest record. Can anybody guess what the most expensive photograph was sold for? Any ideas? It's not this one, but yeah. It was a photo of the Rhine. It sold for $5.6 million. Just one photo. And yeah, this guy looks at consumerism and just the colour. 3.6. yeah. So he looks at how colour attracts us to buy and the power of consumerism on people. Chris Jordan. Now, this guy really stood out to me with a lot of my works about rubbish because, as Paley was saying in her work, these photos were taken in the Midway Islands of like albatross birds, and it's just all these islands are scattered with dead albatrosses. And you can see, is that a little laser? Yeah, a little there in the middle. That's where their stomach was, and these birds sadly starved to death or die of dehydration because they can't take any food in because their belly is just full of our waste, our plastic. And then you get these photos of, birds just scattered on the beach with all the flesh rotting, but then a little neat package of plastic in the middle. And in a way, it is a portrait of our lifestyle, the consequences of our lifestyle. Vic Muzak, last one, got people from a Brazilian dump, which is the world's biggest dump, and got them to recreate famous images, portraits, but using the rubbish they found in the dump, they made a collage of these of them. So this is actually a person who worked in a dump in Brazil. And they actually sold the works to raise money for these people so they can have proper housing and food and drink, which is pretty cool. So, why am I an artist and how does it relate to my faith? I hope my work challenges people to think about their everyday of their lives and the effects of their lives. I don't want to make pretty pictures or pictures which illustrate the Bible. I want to challenge people. In order to turn to God, we need to see reality. I'm interested in objects, structures, buildings, and urban landscapes, in particular, increasing number of non-places that fill our environment. Non-places are places and buildings that we pass by on a day-to-day and that we ignore. Places that transit, like airports, train stations, highways, or cultural wastelands, which I really like. My work focuses on the wastes. As the Bible says, we are to be good stewards of the beautiful earth that God has given to us. Today we all know about the great global crisis, from the garbage patch in the Pacific through the terrible rubbish in Naples, where they just don't have any regard, they just toss it on the ground. Even in Australia, where like Sydney's rubbish, recycled rubbish, is getting dumped into Queensland landfills and not recycled. The question, what is beauty, is a recurrent theme in my work. Each society and culture has a different perception of beauty. So why do I make rubbish beautiful? I want to show that our society considers are ugly, and I want to show their beauty. We are ugly, but God sees beauty in us despite our flaws. I want to show the beauty in the everyday and the unnoticed. Philosopher Edmund Burke's theory of the sublime said that the natural forces like earthquakes or tsunamis, vastness and ugliness, have the capacity to create feelings of intense emotion. But another source of terror in the 21st century is the artificial infinite. The power of globalization and capitalism, systems that control and overwhelm us. From a Christian point of view, we need to remind the real truth of our existence in all its flaws so that we can turn to God. So some of my work, this is probably one of the first works which I took, which I kind of thought is like rubbish. So this is taken up in Newcastle, and it's just a piece of rubbish, rubber wire, probably about this big. And I was just fascinated because it says, I don't know if you guys can see it, but it says gone, as in rubbish goes. And yeah, I was just fascinated, like, just how all this rubbish lands on one of the beaches. And this is part of my year 12 work. The next series, The Aftermath, which I made in 2011. So it's of petrol stations, abandoned petrol stations throughout our cities, and how they become abandoned and how they're seen as redundant. And since they reuse them heaps, but then once they're no longer in use, they're just left there and abandoned, graffitied, and just seen as ugly. Another series which I... Oh, there's another one. Reduced Speed, which I made in 2011 too. And I looked at road construction on the M2 at night and roadworks. Our roads are constantly being repaired, extended, and altered. The project focuses on the nighttime roadworks, exploring the ever-changing landscape of the city. The photos show the workers working on the M2 under floodlights, creating these almost staged landscapes. And this work was quite tiring work. Stayed up till like, 5 o'clock from like, I did pretty much the night shifts working, photographing this series, and I was just fascinated about it becoming a moon-like landscape. And we don't ever see this, these workers. This is the M2, yep. So, Remains of the Day, which I made in 2012, and I really wanted to focus on rubbish, and these photos are close-ups of waste, cars, bottles, TVs, wires, and other waste of our modern consumer lifestyle are explored in this series. So I went to tips all around Sydney and New South Wales, actually, and zoomed in and focused on rubbish, and wanted to look at the consequence of our lifestyle, and wanted to make the ugly look beautiful. And I've inverted the photos, so, like, you know, as we consume things, that's a positive, but as we throw them away, that's a negative. So looking at a negative positive. These are the actual framed works. And I've actually, I don't know if you can really see it, but the works are printed on a metallic paper, which really pops out, and which is really glossy, looking at like how consumerism is quite beautiful and draws us in to buy things, and it's quite like, shiny and glossy. So then I followed on by a series called Remains 2. And I was wanted to look at more of the landscape, so how these all this rubbish contrast our landscape, and how it's a bigger scene rather than focusing like broader context of the issue. And in 2014, I kind of changed paths. So I remember in 2009, I went to Venice, and I was fascinated by, instead of looking at all the architecture and all the buildings and the food, I was looking at the ground the whole time. And my parents were like, what's the matter, Emilio? But I noticed these little spots on the ground and how they're quite beautiful. I don't know, does anyone know what it is? Yeah, it's actually bird poo. This series is called Flight Patterns. And so I made a series of portraits of bird poo. it's crap work, isn't it? These works explore the idea that beauty is all around us, in places that we least expect it. Each black and white photograph highlights the delicate patterns and textures of bird droppings on different pavements. The patterns are of landscape overlaid onto landscape, contrasting the straight lines with brick pavers and concrete slabs of wooden boards. So I really was influenced. I remember when I was a little kid going to the National Gallery in Canberra and seeing Jackson Pollock's Blue Poles, and how it's randomly splattered on. And this is kind of like a natural census in birds randomly drop poo places and how it's a landscape on top of a landscape. And yeah. and in 2016, I wanted to personalize my fascination for waste and rubbish. And I asked a whole bunch of people, and I think it's so many people here, including Toby, to collect their rubbish for a week. And that was from everything. And it was definitely an experience. And then because it was quite confronting, I think, for a lot of people, because they started to realize how much they throw out. And if you know, how many weeks or in a year, plus how many years in their life, and how much rubbish they throw out. And a lot of people who I asked to do it came back to me and said, like, wow, I'm just astonished how much I throw away. And, you know, where does it all go? And I think a lot of them were encouraged to reduce how much rubbish they threw away. And I guess the other key thing which I, in this work, was looking at was like how when we take a portrait, we normally take of their face. But a portrait can also be the inside of someone's body in the sense in what we enjoy, what we do, what we eat, all that type of stuff. So, I took all the rubbish in my studio and photographed it and then overlaid it onto their face. And also, again, made them in negatives, as in it's the rubbish is an x-ray of their lifestyle. As x-ray pulls out the flaws in our body, so does the x-ray pull out the flaws of the ongoing issue of waste. And the most recent work, I went to a TIP in Blacktown, Western Sydney, and I was just photographing all the cars, but then I got fascinated by the glass screens, and I started photographing them, and then I made a series called Through a Glass Darkly, and I cut the screens out of the cars, and then I laid them onto a light box in my studio and illuminated them with being backlit. And these works for me were fascinating because it's almost like a topographical map in the sense as in they're like roads connecting a city or a country together. And then, as you can see, the like outer sides is where it gets really quite dense, as in like on the outside of a country where the ports are, that's where it's dense. And, you know, like in the outside of a city or a country, it's where like all the consumables come in to be, or even from the center, they go out to the sides to be consumed. And I was fascinated how for us to consume so much, we have to have a really good network of cities or roads and allow us to consume at a mass scale. So these are some other ones. In conclusion, I want to challenge you guys by what lasts, your fame, your money, your possessions, your house, your body. Nothing lasts in this world. It all goes to the tip or the wasteland or to the grave. Art, and I wanted to also challenge you, art is of its time. It challenges us to think, and that's why I believe it's so important of this life. Art is my way of making sense of the fact that nothing lasts in this world. The world is harmed by our greed and our sin, but God sees beauty in us, and he shows us that through Jesus Christ. Thank you.